Welcome back to The Naked Scientist with me, Chris Smith. This week, we're exploring Cambridge by water because we're punting our way down the River Cam and exploring some of the colleges that are on the banks of the river. Who do I see on the horizon? It's Ben and Dave. Ahoy there.
Hello.
Hello.
You're camping out in the grounds of St John's College. What are you up to?
Well, we thought we'd enjoy the summer weather, and by the river is a lovely place to be, so we've set up our tent, and we're just going to enjoy the sunshine.
Are you going to come aboard?
Yeah, why not?
Dave manoeuvres 15 tonnes of campcraft gear. What are you going to do?
Well, we're going to show you a way of making a fire just using the power of the sun.
Ben, do you know he's going to do this in a punt? It's made of wood, Dave.
You might survive the experience, Chris, if you're lucky.
Well, we do need a way to cook our lunch, and I haven't brought any matches, and neither has Dave, so we certainly needed to find a different way of starting a fire. So what we thought we'd do is we'd try to start this fire using a magnifying glass. And so Dave has brought along the biggest magnifying glass I have ever seen.
It's huge! He has got a magnifying glass bigger than my head. What's going to happen when you focus that with the sun?
Well, a magnifying glass is a lens, and lenses are designed specially to focus all the light from one point on one side to one point on the other. A magnifying glass is made out of glass, and glass slows light down a bit when it hits it. So when light hits it at an angle, the light will bend slightly, and a lens is very cleverly shaped. So if we've got the sun on one side, we can focus all the light from the sun into a small image of the sun on the other side.
And is there really enough energy from the sun hitting the Earth, even only in this diameter, to be able to concentrate that and start a fire?
On the equator, you get about a kilowatt of energy from the sun in every square metre. So even on this 6-inch magnifying glass, focused down to a couple of millimetres, there's plenty there to heat something up to several hundred degrees centigrade.
And a kilowatt is like a one bar electric fire, isn't it? So it's very, very hot.
That's right, yes.
Well, we have a frying pan, and I've mixed up some eggs for an omelette. But Dave, I think you better get the fire started.
OK, I've got a piece of paper here. It works best if the paper's black. So I'm going to scrump it up and get a nice ball of paper. I'm trying to get the black bits on the outside so I can focus the light onto them. The white paper reflects most of the light that hits it, so you'd have to focus much more light onto it to get the same effect. So I've taken this crumpled up ball of paper. I'm going to put it on a tray in order to reduce the fire risk in this punt. So I'm now going to take the lens. So I'm focusing the sun's light. At the moment it's not very good focus. I'm just going to lift the lens up gently.
It's now getting too bright for me to actually look at. That's actually hurting my eyes.
And it is definitely starting to smoke. Dave's about 2.5 foot away with the lens now. And it's really... it's certainly getting lit. There's a very smoky smell in the punt. And it's definitely starting to burn now. It's burnt through several layers of the paper.
I think someone has actually called the Coast Guard or something because there's an aeroplane, a fire spotter plane up there. They've heard about Dave's experiment.
So we do now have what can only be described as a fire in a tin, lit by only a magnifying glass.
Aboard a wooden punt.
So, Dave, you were about 2.5 foot away there with the magnifying glass. Do you have to be a certain distance away to concentrate the light?
That's right. A lens will only work if you're actually at the focal length of the lens. If you're too close, instead of getting a nice small spot, you get a big blurred round spot, so it won't get as hot.
I know that in sunlight you get lots of different wavelengths of light, lots of different frequencies, and infrared is commonly what we think of as the way of transmitting heat. So are we actually concentrating the infrared on this, or is it just the light itself that does that work?
Well, it's actually both of them. Glass will focus various frequencies of infrared, especially ones closest to visible light, but probably not the thermal infrared, which we glow in being at normal sort of room temperature.
So is there any way that we can concentrate and move about the thermal infrared?
I've got a really nice experiment inside, which I can show you, which does just that.
OK, well, I shall put this fire out. Our omelette will have to wait, and we'll go inside and try the second part of this experiment.
We've brought you in here, Ben, to show you this.
That's just a satellite dish, isn't it, Dave?
It's a particularly shiny satellite dish. In fact, it's exactly the same shape as a satellite dish. It's a parabolic mirror.
Well, I can't see myself in it, so it obviously doesn't make a very good mirror. But what's it for?
A parabolic mirror is actually exactly the right shape, like a lens, to focus light to a point. But this time, we're not going to be focusing visible light like we were before. We're going to be focusing invisible infrared light.
So should we take this back outside by the river and use it to focus the light from the sun?
Well, we could do. In fact, many people have tried this. It's a good idea for the developing world, because what they've done is taken parabolic mirrors like this and put something you want to cook at the focus of the parabolic mirror. This is a few centimetres away from the back of it. And then all the light is concentrated down onto this. If you put some food in, the food will heat up and you can cook it.
But if we're not taking it out into the sun, then what light is it that we are going to condense?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to heat up an old pan scourer at about the focus of this mirror, and that's going to get very hot and start emitting lots of infrared light. Because this is at the focus, instead of focusing it to another point further away, it'll focus it into a beam, a bit like a searchlight.
So actually you can reverse the trick, and instead of using the parabolic mirror to collect all of the light onto its focus point, if you put something really hot at its focus point, then it will shine that heat back out.
Yes, and in fact, if you put something very bright at the focus of this, it'll reflect all the light into a narrow beam, just like a searchlight or the headlight of a car.
Okay, cool. Well, can I see it working?
Okay, if you go and stand a few feet over that way, I'll light it up and see what you can feel.
Okay, well, I trust you. I'll go and stand facing the parabolic mirror.
Okay, now I'm going to light a couple of blowtorches and use them to heat up a pan scourer, which is at the focus of this mirror.
Well, I'm about 5 metres away from your parabolic mirror, Dave, and I can see from here clearly that the old scourer you've got is glowing red hot. But it feels really hot over here. It feels like sitting in front of a one-bar electric fire. It really does. And the other strange thing is that the sound of the blowtorch is really loud over here. Why is that so loud?
Well, sound is focused by a parabolic mirror as well, so you're getting a beam of sound from this blowtorch pointing towards you along with a beam of heat.
Well, I'm getting a bit too hot here now, Dave, so I'll move away if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine, Ben. Now, you may think that you got quite hot then. I'm going to get something really hot now. What I've got here is another parabolic mirror, which I can use to focus that beam of heat right back down to a point.
Well, that just sounds dangerous.
That may sound dangerous, but it's not as dangerous until you hear what I'm actually going to put at this point. I've got some nitrocellulose here, which is also known as gun cotton. It's an explosive, and I'm going to put that at the focus of the second mirror.
So we're creating a lot of heat at the focal point of the first mirror, and that makes it send that heat in a beam forward like a searchlight. But then you're going to catch all of that heat again and focus it down onto a pile of explosives?
Yeah, that's pretty much the plan.
Sounds good to me. Let's do it.
I'll just turn this Bunsen off because I really don't want that gun cotton going off in my hand. Okay, here's the other parabolic mirror. I'll just put it down here. I'll just crouch down behind it so I can align it nicely.
So the two parabolic mirrors have to be perfectly aligned?
Yeah, that's right. The focus point won't be at the centre where I've got the explosive. And now it's aligned. I'll just get some gun cotton and put it at the focus of the second mirror.
Now, you've got about a handful of gun cotton there. I've never handled the stuff before. Is that a lot? Is this going to be a big explosion? Should I be outside again?
Big enough, but shouldn't be dangerous.
I'll have to trust you on that. So now do we have to heat the scourer up again?
Yeah, that's the plan. I'll light the two Bunsens and heat up the scourer.
I'll get out of the way. Wow! That really went up in a flash.
Yeah, it went off with a flash. That's why it's known as flash cotton. The light was being focused by the two parabolic mirrors down to a point, and along with much more heat than there was light. So the gun cotton got above its ignition temperature, it ignited and went off with a bang.
Well, these parabolic mirrors are obviously an excellent way of sending heat around. How far can you actually send it?
Well, with my kit, you probably get it 10, 15 metres if you line them very carefully. With perfect mirrors, probably several hundred metres, you could get exactly the same effect, but you'd have to align them incredibly carefully. But it depends on exactly the frequency of the light you're trying to focus. In fact, the satellite dishes use exactly the same principle to focus microwaves from a satellite thousands of miles up in the atmosphere onto a receiver, so the receiver gets much more signal than it would do otherwise, and you can watch satellite TV.
Oh, so that's how they work. And if there's one other thing that these parabolic mirrors do look like, they actually look like a really big wok, which reminds me, we were going to make an omelette. So we better get back to the river and I'll hand you back to Chris.
Terrific. Thank you very much to Ben and to Dave for an amazing kitchen science experiment. Kitchen science camp style. Got themselves a conflagration going in a wooden boat. Always a good idea. Thanks, guys. In the meantime, I think you better get your tent down outside St John's College pretty quick before someone catches you. Well, that's it for this week's Naked Scientists, where we were drifting down the Cam, courtesy of Sarah Castor-Perry in her punt. So thank you, Sarah, for telling us the story of all the colleges we visited as we went along.
You're very welcome.
I also have to say a very big thank you to the people who were our passengers today. Beverly Glover, Herbert Huppert, Paul Fletcher, Florian Holfelder and Martin Rees. The production was by Mira Senthilingam. Now, just before we go, I do have one more favour to ask you, but this is good because you could win some stuff. We're giving away the first Naked Scientist t-shirt with our new logo on it and also a copy of Crisp Packet Fireworks, our new book based on all the fun and funky experiments we do in kitchen science. And we're also giving away 10 runner-up prizes of Crisp Packet Fireworks, our new book. And it's very simple. All you have to do is fill in a copy of the Naked Scientists online survey. This is just our feedback survey so that you can tell us what you think of our programme and our website. You can tell us what you think we're doing well and what you think we could be doing even better. So that's at nakedscientist.com/survey. Do please fill it in. It'll only take a maximum of 5 minutes. nakedscientist.com/survey. Meanwhile, from the banks of the Cam, that is it for this week. We're back at the same time next week with more Naked Science. So if you'd like to ask us any questions in the meantime, just send them to chris@thenakedscientist.com. Good to have your company. See you soon and goodbye.
The Naked Scientists are sponsored by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientists.com.